the thought of that of spiritual adultery. And Israel was having spiritual adultery with God. And it's a picture for us in our lives in regards to our relationship with God. Remember the relationship Hosea had with Gomer and the three and the children that were produced from that. Anyone remember what the names of the children meant? I'm not at, you don't have to say the names, but do you remember what the names meant? Brenda? Okay, yeah, no compassion, no love, not my people. What's that? Not my people. Jamie, can you go make some more copies, please? We'll make some more, about five. And there was scattered. Yep, the scattered was the other. Being scattered about. Last week, we looked at verse 1. And it gave some names again. But what did it say? Anyone remember from last week? Or you can look there. There's a change, though. Remember, we looked at that. We looked, spent most of the time with just one. It says, say unto your brethren, am I, and to your sisters, Rumama. What is that saying? There's going to be a day coming that they're going to be changed. Where they weren't loved, they're going to become loved. Where they weren't God's children, they're going to become God's children. We're going to pick back up in verse 2. Verse 2. It says, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and adulterers from between her breasts. Okay, remember this is a comparison between the relationships there. Here we have the word plead. It starts off there. Now look at this. We're going to talk about this. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. What does the word plead mean? Beg. Make a petition. Right? You plead for something. It's a legal term. Means to contend or to argue for something. How many of you are good arguers? You can really... Jamie, we know. We know. And you're able to argue anything. How many could argue anything? I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If the sky was blue and someone said the sky was blue, you could still argue that. Who could do that? What's that? No one is. We're just having fun. What was that? See, I knew I'd get someone on that right there. So it means to contend, to argue, to strive. Or, and our thing is to beg. How many of you had your kids at one time? Now, some of you, your kids are older now. But at one time, they would plead. And they would even have a little whine to their plead. And you want to just smack them. Not really, right? You just want to, you were done with it. But they would keep pleading. They would keep, what's that over there? And they would keep pleading. And then, so how many have ever had your kids grab your feet and hold on to your feet and begging, and you try to walk away? Now, some of you did it for, they did it for fun, and you played with them, and then you kicked them, and they weren't flying. And so they would plead. Here he's saying, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife. What does that mean? Now, keep in mind the whole comparison. Keep in mind what we're talking about. Keep in mind what he just finished in chapter 1 and coming into chapter 2. What he just said in verse number 1. There's a time coming. And all that's happening. Now he comes in and says, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredom. What is he saying? Anyone have a thought before we get into this? Okay? Separated? Okay? Okay? More thought than physical. Anyone else? Anyone have any thought? Okay, it is comparison to a physical, to a spiritual relationship, but he's using the physical to talk about the spiritual. Anyone else have another thought? Why would he say, plead with your mother, plead with her, because she's not my wife, neither am I her husband, because of her whoredoms? Now, look, you can cheat a little bit on your sheet there if you want to. Not all the answers are there. I did that on purpose. Mark, you had something? Yeah, the plead is, strive with your mother because of her sin. And because of her sin has seared the relationship that we had. Now, that's a picture for us. Now, it's a picture here of the nation of Israel, right? Is this not a picture here? The mother refers to verse 2 as Israel as a nation and the children as individual Israelites. And it's the idea is because of your sin... Your sin is what separated you. Your sin is what caused you not to be my people. Your sin is what caused you not to have the love and the compassion. Your sin is the problem right here. And the problem that was being pleaded here with the children pleading there is, repent, mother, because of your sin and what your sin has done with your relationship. Anyone else have another thought? Any other thoughts with that? That's a picture that gives us there. It's that picture there of what is being done. Now, what does it say? Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. What is she to do? Put away the idols. Now, let me ask a couple questions as we get into this. When you and I have sinned in our lives, how does that affect our relationship with God? It puts a strain. When your kids sinned and did wrong and disobeyed, how did that affect the relationship you had with your kids? It put a strain on it. When your child did something majorly wrong, and it was a big, it broke trust, how easy was it for that trust to be regained? Not very easily. And even though you forgave them, you were still worried about they were going to do the same thing. If your child stole your car, you would be very worried they're going to steal your car again, even though they apologized for it, and you would hide the keys. You would even, in the old days, you'd pull the spark plug wires and that, and you can even do some other things so they couldn't take the car, right? But you didn't trust them. You wouldn't set the keys right on the counter and with a full tank of gas and set them up. And why? Because you didn't trust them. And there's other pictures, that other illustrations we can use looking at that. What is reconciliation? I couldn't hear. Okay, reconciliation is to make right, is to fix what is broken, to put it back together. How many have tried to put some things back together before? How many love super glue? I'm not talking the nice stuff, the gel. I'm talking the dollar store super glue. Now, it does work, but what usually happens? What else gets glued together? You were doing it, Kelly. Your fingers get glued. Now, when you try to put something back together, how many ever broke something of your parents, of your moms, and something broke, and your dad was probably part of it, and you wanted to fix it before mom found out, and you tried to fix it, and you put it together, but did it look exactly the way it should have? No. Steve, when you broke her vase a while back, because she didn't have a vase, she had a vase, because it was expensive. It wasn't from Walmart, from Hobby Lobby. And you broke it, and you tried to glue it back together. Did it look the same? Just in the garbage can. But it doesn't look the same, and put back together. But what is true reconciliation? When it's put back together by God, how does it look? It looks perfect. But when we try to do reconciliation, how does it look? It looks messed up. Now, some of you like puzzles. And you like those 5,000-piece puzzles. And you like those weird, the small little pieces, and you put them together. Now, I've noticed something with those. Some of those just aren't cut right. I mean, they should fit. The color, everything looks good. So what I do, and I don't have patience for those, but and I'm not talking those little ones. I'm talking the big ones that Ezra does. I even get frustrated with those. And those don't fit either. So what I do is I get the scissors out, and I trim them so they fit, and they look good. They look good because I make them look good. I have to cut a lot of pieces, not just one. And I cut them all, and they fit good. The problem is they don't stay together because it's not done right. And that's what we do when we try to fix things ourselves. We try to cut the pieces. We try to reconcile things and try to put it together ourselves. Reconciliation is changing for the better. Change of relationship between God and man. We can be reconciled to God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was the godly Israelites were being urged to what? To come back to God. Now, as we see this coming here, put away her whoredoms. What does that mean? What is she to put away here? Her sin. Her lifestyle, to put away what she's been doing. It's not just the act she was involved in. It was her whole life, the way she's been behaving. What do we look at sometimes with sin? We look at just the individual sin. We don't look at it in the whole picture of her whole life. When we sin, do we need to just fix the sin we did? Say you stole the candy bar. Brother Dick was hungry. Sister Tina wouldn't give him any money. And he stopped at the gas station, and he saw a Snickers bar. And he knew she would be mad, too, because she's not supposed to have sugar. So he just put it in his pocket and walked out. Before he got to the car, he felt bad. He felt guilty. He took it back in, he gave it back in, and he said he was sorry, and then he paid for the candy bar. Now let me ask you a question. What is the bigger issue? Is it the taking of the candy bars or something bigger? There's something bigger. See, we put a lot of emphasis on the action, but we don't put a lot of emphasis on the heart and what the whole cause of it is. If your child slaps your other child, we get upset because they slapped, and we should, but there's a bigger issue than the slapping. There's a bigger issue between the pulling the hair. There's a bigger issue to that, and you have to deal with that. Why are you laughing? You hit glory before? You sin or repent. But we have to look at the bigger issue. We have to look at the bigger issue of that. And many times we look at just the individual sin, not the root of the problem and what has caused that. And he says, you got to put this away from you. Plead with your mother. Plead with her that she puts this sin, her lifestyle, her way of doing things away from her. That's a plea we need in our lives. That's a plea the nation of Israel needed. The nation of Israel needed not just to stop worshiping the false idols. The nation of Israel needed to get their heart right. What happens when you just remove the idol and you don't get your heart right? What's that? Another idol takes its place, or over a course of time you go back to that same idol. What? Nothing changes. We take this off, but we don't change. We don't deal with it. We say, oh, I'm not supposed to worship a false idol. I'm nation of Israel. I'm not supposed to be doing this. So I'm going to take this off and I'm going to put it to the side. But my heart's still the same. I'm still committing spiritual adultery. See, if she doesn't put it away and make a change, she can say she's not involved in the act anymore, but she's still committing it. Why? Because her heart is somewhere else. And spiritual adultery is when our heart is somewhere else and we haven't dealt with the sin. When we sin, something else has us. Until we confess it and deal with it and get true reconciliation, where God truly puts us back together, we're still going to be committing this spiritual adultery. Look at a little more in verse 2. And her adulteress from between her breasts. Put all this away. Get rid of all this. Put it out of her sight. Don't have this anymore. God does not tolerate the sin of Israel. God does not tolerate our sin. He's grieved over our sins. I think sometimes we don't realize how much our sins grieve God. We talk about it a little bit, but how much does it really grieve God? I think it does a lot. I think our sin makes God sick in a sense. It becomes abomination to him. And it grieves him. Why? Because he wants us to live and do the right thing. Just as it grieves you as a parent when your kids, even if they're adults, do wrong, it still grieves you as a parent, does it not? You don't have as much say. You can't change them and you can't get on them as you once were able to when they were in your house, but it still grieves you. It still really hurts you. And there's times that even your adult children have brought you to tears because you're crying for them. And I believe that's the same way God is. He sees us and he sees what we've done and it brings them to tears. Even though we're supposed to know better, even though we're older in the faith, even though we're this and that, it grieves God because of the sins in our hearts to him. What's some steps for reconciliation? What's some steps to overcome sinful habits? Go to Psalms 139 for a moment. We're going to look at several of these verses down here tonight. And I want us to give us some steps of overcoming the habits of sin. And we know these verses pretty familiar. And those that were here for Lord's Supper a couple Sunday nights ago, I actually preached out of this portion. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What's some ways to overcome some sinful habits? Reconciliation? We got to search and have God search us. We got to seek God and ask God to search us. We got to ask him to look in our hearts and try me, know my thoughts. How do we overcome sinful habits? According to this verse, anyone else? What's another thought in here? We have to repent of it. The idea of this as well we have to acknowledge it. And this is the key. If you're going to overcome and get reconciliation, we have to acknowledge. We got to ask God to search. We got to ask God to show us. But we got to come to a place where we acknowledge our sin for what our sin is. A lot of times we don't want to admit it. In this illustration here of Jose and Gomer, I believe Gomer didn't even want to have to admit what she's done and where she's at. I believe many times in our lives it's the same picture. We don't want to admit what we've done. We don't want to acknowledge it. We want to just hope it goes away somehow, some way, and not acknowledge what we've done. Go to Haggai 1:5. Mark, could you read that for us? Haggai 1:5. Haggai 1:5. Jamie, look up Psalms 57:7. Dad, if you could look up Psalms 119:5 and 6. Rex, if you could look up Psalms 119:11. Go ahead, Mark. Consider your ways. So how's another, what's another step to overcome? What's that? Examination. We got to search. We got to acknowledge. We got to consider. What does consider mean? Yeah. You got to be real. And you got to consider. Consider. What does consider mean? You think about it. It's more than just acknowledgement. When you consider, you have to be real to yourself. You have to ponder upon it. So you acknowledge it, but you got to ponder. And you got to see, okay, this is what I've done, and this is what it does to God. Look at the next verse. Who has that, Jamie? My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. I will sing praise. What does it mean, my heart is fixed? Okay, repent. Anything else? I couldn't hear you. It's set, it's founded, it's focused on. How is this a step for overcoming? We change what we're focused on, and we focus on what we ought to focus on. We change that focus, because when Israel was committing spiritual adultery, what was Israel's focus? When the example of Gomer and all that was happening, what was her focus? What's our focus when we sin against God? Ourselves. And where ought we be fixed upon? What should we be focused upon? What should we be looking to? God. We have to change our focus. If we're going to take the steps to overcome sin in our lives, we have to change our focus. Jamie, you have something? Yeah, it's a turning from and a turning to. It has both. There, you have to go from something, but you have to go to something. All right, next verse. Yes, please. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed, and I have respect unto all thy commandments. Okay, what is that telling us? How's that a step? Yeah, change my direction, change my ways. What's the step saying, Lord, you order my steps? How are we going to overcome sin? We got to let God lead us. We got to follow His statutes, His commandments. And we got to let God direct the way we're walking, the way we're going in our lives. That's how we're going to overcome it. See, we're not going to overcome it if we keep doing it the same way we've always done it. You'll never overcome that sin in your life. You'll never have reconciliation if you continue doing things the same way you've always done it. How many you've done something like that? You try to figure something out, and you did it, and it didn't add up right. And you did it again the exact same way, and it didn't work again. And you kept doing it the exact same way. And then someone came by and said, well, why don't you do it a different way? Maybe it'll work. And you changed the way you were doing things, and it worked. A lot of times, we start doing things the exact same way, and we wonder why we're failing every time. Every time we fail, every time we fail, every time we fail. Why? Because we're not changing our direction. We're not changing who we're following. We're not changing our steps. We're not allowing God to change our steps in our lives. That's how we get victory, is when God does the changing of our steps in our lives. Rex, you have the next verse? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. What is this verse telling us for overcoming? How do we overcome sin in our lives? Hiding God's word in our heart. How do we overcome sin in our lives? Knowing God's word and meditating upon the word of God. The Bible tells us to meditate on the word of God. Chew on the word of God both day and night. We need to continue to chew upon it, to meditate, to memorize it, to live it, to love it, to know it. How are we going to have victory in our lives? How are we going to overcome sin? How are we going to have reconciliation? Is we have to stick to the scriptures and know the scriptures and live the scriptures in our lives. You know what happens? We think memorization of scriptures is just for the children. There is a reason we have a theme, a verse each month. Yes, we go over it in Sunday school. Yes, it's on the front of your bulletin. Yes, it's on the walls. And it's there not just for the kids. It's for each of us to daily memorize Scripture. That's why I believe it's important that we as a church memorize Scripture. You and I ought to. Now, some of us have a little harder time as we got older in life to memorize. Who can't memorize as well as you used to? Who could never memorize? All right. But keep reading over and over and over so it gets in your head in your life. And it doesn't matter if you miss a word. That's not the purpose. The purpose is you understand what the verse is saying. So when you're going through your struggles of your life, it comes to your mind and you're able to fight off the devil and use the power of the word of God. Look, go ahead. 1 Peter 4, 7. Did I ask anyone for that one? Jeremy, could you read that? 1 Peter 4, 7. Brother Dick, could you go to Hebrews 4, 16? Brother Myers, would you mind reading James 4, 7? Jamie, Matthew 6, 10. Mark, 1 Timothy 5, 22. Rex, 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Dad, Ephesians 5, 18. All right, 1 Peter 4, 7, please. Okay, how are you going to overcome? Through prayer. Be sober and watch unto prayer. Why is prayer important to overcome? Overcoming sin and have reconciliation. Makes your relationship strong with the Lord. Anyone else? Another one. That's good. You're asking God for his help and his healing. You're submitting to God and his authority. You're submitting to him. When we don't seek God in prayer, we are basically saying, I can cut the puzzle pieces and put it back together. Next verse, please. Hebrews 4:16. Yeah. What a time of need we have when we sin against God, is it not? Where can we find grace? At His throne. And what do we need during this time to overcome what is the grace of God? His grace is sufficient to save, but His grace is sufficient to sustain, and His grace is sufficient to help us through even when we do wrong. His grace is there. Next verse. We got to fly. I can't preach each verse, sorry. I wanted to, but. James 4:7. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow. It goes hand in hand. Have you noticed something? You got to seek, you got to acknowledge, you got to do all focus, all those things. But you got to submit to God and resist the devil in our lives. Next verse, please. How does that have anything to do with it? Because it becomes about His will, not our will. You know how you overcome sin? How you have victory and reconciliation? When it's not about you anymore. And it's all about doing His will for your life. Because why do we sin? It brings pleasure to ourselves. If I'm not focused on bringing pleasure to myself, but I want to please God and I want to do God's will, then sin doesn't really matter. Because sin is fun for a season, but sin doesn't really matter to me if I'm focused upon God. All right, next verse. Keep yourself pure. Don't get involved in other people's sins and don't let other people affect you. You know how you overcome sin? Stay with people that are going to help you, not hinder you. Too many times we put ourselves around people that are going to bring us down instead of lift us up. How many have ever bought a bag of potatoes? And the top potatoes looked okay, and then you started peeling down, and they were all nasty and rotten in there. You know what usually happened? It was just one potato that was bad in the whole bag. And it sat on Walmart shelf for 3 months. And then it finally affected all the others in there. All right, next verse. 1 Corinthians 15:33. So what does that mean? What? Keep your mouth, your speech pure. And your speech is an indication of what? And what's in your thoughts is an indication of what? What's your heart? Okay, and then last verse, Ephesians 5:18. How are you going to overcome? Be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to control your life. He's in you, but give Him all of you. Don't hinder the Spirit working with you. That's how you're going to overcome. Be filled with the Spirit. Be spiritually minded in our lives. Anybody have anything you'd like to add or say in this? So we got through one verse today. Last week got through one verse. This is going to be a long time in Hosea. It's going to go quicker. We'll pick back up. Hey, we got through chapter 1 pretty quick. But anybody have anything else? All right, prayer requests.